Good morning. He is risen. Amen. He is risen indeed. Welcome this Easter morning to Ephesus Baptist. It's God's house. It's the place He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask each of you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Our text this Easter morning is a short and familiar passage. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 57. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible or one of those in the pew racks in front of you as I read. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord, Jesus Christ. May God add His blessing to our reading and hearing and studying of His Word. My sermon this morning has its genesis in an old outline by a gentleman named Richard Dean. And for you to fully understand the message this morning, I'm going to ask you to use your imagination, because I shall be speaking as if death were a person. And first, let us consider the birth and early years of death. We can pinpoint the exact date of death's birth. Death was conceived in Adam and Eve's temptation by the serpent, and it was birthed the very moment that they sinned. Scripture records that birth. Sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men, Romans 5:12. So the parent of sin of death is sin, and the grandparent of death is Satan. Again, we read in the scriptures, he who does what is sinful is of the devil. So on the day Adam fell to temptation and sin, there was a bouncing baby boy born into the household of the devil. And this baby's name was death. And the Bible teaches us that there was a time before death's birth when the earth was a pleasant and glorious place in which to live. There were no thorns and no thistles. There was no labor to be performed. There was no agony. There was no pain. The fruit was plentiful and willingly came forth, and everything was peaceful. And God had created humanity to last for eternity, our human body to last for eternity. However, as a result of sin, death changed everything. Death brought along with him pain and suffering and despair and agony. And because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we had to work, and the human body began to decay and deteriorate. Death was very active in his early years. In a short time after death's birth, he surfaces with Cain and Abel. And Cain, through jealousy and anger, strikes down his brother in a field, and he leaves him to be devoured by death. Death rapidly became the strongest predator on the face of this earth, relentlessly tracking down his victims, catching and wrestling him and her down to the decay and the mire of the grave. Death wanders the earth night and day, stalking his prey. He is seen lurking in the shadows with the souls of men in his grasp. He is the terror of the night. He has no favorites and is not prejudiced. He strikes down men and women, young and old, red, yellow, black, or white. He rides the wind, grasping and screaming for the bodies and souls of man. Death was present and encouraging Ahab and Jezebel along in their murderous plot against the devout Naboth. Death entered the fire with the three Hebrew children, expecting to have their charred bodies. However, a fourth person in the fire, an angel sent from God, robbed him of victory. But death was not concerned. He knew that eventually he would have those three in his grasp. At the mere mention of death's name, mortal man trembled. He struck terror in the hearts of mankind. He could boast that of the millions of people at that time who had walked the face of the earth, only two, Enoch and Elijah, had escaped him. And now we look at death's most ambitious undertaking. In his wanderings throughout the earth, death received word that the Son of God, the man they called Jesus, had become flesh and lived here among mortal man. And death had but one thought: if the Son of God has become flesh, he will be mine. Death feels certain that the time is right. The Son of God has come to Jerusalem and claims to be the Messiah, the one who will save man. And we can envision death as he accompanies the crowd to the Garden of Gethsemane. His fierceness is kindled as he sees Jesus, who has eluded him for so long, and he snarls and howls in Jesus' face, and Jesus doesn't blink an eye. It's as if Jesus is in command. There's no indication of fear upon his face, and death feels a little tremble of fear. Could it be that Jesus is the master? That death will finally meet his equal? Death travels with the crowd from the Garden of Gethsemane to Caiaphas, the high priest. He's there when Jesus is before Pilate, Pontius Pilate, the pompous governor of the region, who dares judge the most perfect person on this earth. Death whispers into Pilate's ear, "Kill him. Kill Jesus. Give him to me. I can take care of this troublemaker." When this doesn't work, death whispers into the ears of the crowd. He stirs them to cry out, "Crucify him. Crucify Jesus. Give to us the murderer Barabbas. Let Jesus' blood be on us and our children." And death shouts with glee when Pilate orders that Jesus be scourged and crucified. And he thinks that if I can destroy Jesus at the hands of the scourger, he will not need to go to the cross, and therefore God's plan of salvation will be nullified. And with every lash of that cat of nine tails, death claws at the body of Jesus, yet he could not claim him. Miraculously, death was repelled continuously. "I shall be patient," says death. "Jesus is mine when he goes to the cross." And death, along with Satan's and his imps, were present when Jesus was laid upon a rugged cross. They laughed with glee when the brutal Roman soldier nailed each hand and foot of Jesus to that cross. They laughed and shouted when the cross was dropped into its place with a thud and tore the body and the sinew of our Lord Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, Satan and death stood back from the cross, lest a drop of blood fall upon them, because they knew there was power in the blood of the Lamb. Finally, in the midst of Jesus' agony, he summons up enough breath to make two sentences. First, he said, "Father, forgive them." And then he said, "It is finished." And Jesus bowed his head and died upon that cross. The sun refused to shine. The earth convulsed. The birds hushed their singing. And the angels in heaven stood in stunned amazement at the very Son of God who had slumped and died. And pandemonium broke loose in hell, and celebration was the order of the day. Yet once again, death felt a tremor of fear as he pondered some of Jesus' words earlier that he had said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days." And now we come to the beginning of the end. "Watch him well, death," Satan said. "Keep him more than 3 days, and his kingdom is yours." Day one, all is well. The partying goes on. Day two, there's no trouble. The party continues. And then comes day three, and death feels somewhat faint. Then it happens. Jesus Christ arose from the dead. Easter Sunday is the day of death's demise. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Friends, on that day that Jesus Christ arose from the dead, death for the Christian died. John writes in Revelation 1:18 that Jesus told him, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and hell." Death has been swallowed up in victory. Paul wrote in our text today, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Death need not hold terror for your life anymore. Death may claim your earthly body. However, he cannot take your soul if you accept Jesus as your Savior. And if you do, you shall live eternally in heaven. Jesus tasted death for us. He triumphed over it on the first Easter morning, which will forever be the day of death's demise, the day death died. So if you want to have victory over death, if you want to be sure that there's more than being placed in a grave or being cremated, that you will live on forever, then you must accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He did this for us. On that Good Friday, he hung on a cross and died. The man who committed no sin, the very Son of God, did this for us. And he rose again on the third day, and he lives today. And if you believe that, if you believe in him, you too can have everlasting life. And we invite you to come and accept that invitation from Jesus this morning, to say to him in your heart, Lord, I am a sinner. Thank you for dying for me. I accept that gift. I want to live with you forever.